Okay. So one of the four mitzvahs that we perform on Purim, of course, Mikra Megillah, Matanas LeYoinim, and the Sudas Purim, but of course there's also Mishloach Manas Ish L'Rayehu, and we deliver presents to one another. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, Mishloach Manas Ish L'Rayehu, Shtei Matanas L'Ish Echad. Matanais is plural, but Ish L'Rayehu is singular, so you have to give two items to one individual. He sent him a piece of flesh, a piece of meat, and presumably cooked, and wine. And he fulfilled Shalach Lech, with the piece of meat and the wine. So the paradigm over here in the Gemara is giving two different food items. Over the Rambam and writes in his quote here by the Shulchan Aruch, some interpreters say, "Hey, if Dalal Chayv Leshlech Chaver Shtei Manos Basar Shnei Mini Yoichlim, you have to send to your friend two portions of meat or two types of food." So, from the fact that the Rambam says two types of food, so that don't, you know, that seems to reflect the Gemara that someone gave a piece of cooked piece of meat and wine, that's Shnei Mini Yoichlim. But then the Rambam writes Shtei Manos Basar, two portions of meat. So the Prima Gadim in his commentary on Maseches Megillah, the Rosh Yosef, is infers from the language of the Rambam that it could be even two portions of the very same item. Certainly it doesn't have to be two brachas. That itself is a misconception. When the Gemara said Shnei Minei Yochlim, it could be, when the Rambam says Shnei Minei Yochlim, already it's two different types of food, but nobody said it had to be two different brachas. However, the Rambam seems to imply further that even if it's the same item, just two portions, Shnei Manos Basar, that would be sufficient. The Aruch HaShulchan, there in Siman Tafrei Sadi Hey, can't believe that that's the case. He says, "Ubara Dover the Tzarich L'Shloach Shnei Minei Oichim or Shnei Minei Mashkim or Min Oicha or Min Mashke." You either have to send two different items. It could be two different types of mashke, two types of wine, two different. But it can't be the same item. Just of a Shnei Chatichas Min Echad, two types of the same thing. Ain't a mile. Just because you cut it in half, that all of a sudden makes it considered to be two things. Ah, the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shtei Manos Basar. He said, that's obviously not what the Rambam's intention was. Or it's a Torah Sofer. It's a mistake that fell into the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, Oishnei Minei Yoichlim. Or two different types of food. Two different types of food are different from one another. So presumably when the Rambam says, Shnei Manos Basar, the Rambam says, Shnei Minei Tavshilin. He meant two different types of things, or Shnei Minim. So you meant two different types of meat, or maybe it's a tall cipher. Shnei minei basar, two different types of meat. So the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan is at least a person has to send two different types of food, but certainly it doesn't have to be two different brachas. Can a person send something that's not food? So that was a shayla that was asked to the Trumas Hadesh, and it's in Mekuf Yud Aleph. Shayla b'nei adam hashachmu chavreim b'purim chalukim v'sedinim. You want to send someone a nice shirt or someone a serving utensil or some other type of gift. But that's be sufficient for mashlach monos ishrayehu, to send gifts to your friend. So the Trumas Hadeshin claims that the entire discussion the Gemara has regarding mashlach monos takes place in the context of the Sudas Purim. In fact, the Gemara says over here, the second line of Vayis Aleph, Abai bar Oven, Rabbi Chanina bar Oven, Machalfi Sudasai Ula Dodi. Neither one could afford to do the Sudas Purim as well as Mashloach Manos. So they each one prepared their own independent Suda, and they swapped Sudas. And that was sufficient for Mashloach Manos. But what do you see? You see the focus of Mashloach Manos is really on the Suda. And in fact, the Rambam quotes it in the Hilcha Halachas where he's discussing the Sudas Purim. And that's where the Gemara has its discussion. And for that reason, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rayehu, the mitzvah has to be fulfilled during the day. Look at the Rama over here in the third line of Ayis Beis. Yesh Mishloach Manos B'Yoyim V'Lei B'Laila. You have to send Mishloach Manos during the day and not at night. The primary day, fulfillment of the Yantif of Purim is really during the day. That's when you fulfill the Sudas Purim. Because the Gemara says Sudas Purim, Shachar B'Laila, L'Yasi Dei Chavasa. The Pasuk says, Yimei Mishtav V'Simcha. Days of Mishtav V'Simcha, not at night. And many of the Mikra Megillah during the day is also the primary Mikra Megillah. Much of all the mitzvahs have to be fulfilled during the day of Purim, not at night. So too, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rayehu was also fulfilled during the day. It's perhaps connected, closely related to the Suda. So therefore, says the Trumas Hadesh, of course, one would have to give an item that is a food item. If that's the reason for the mitzvah Mishloach Manos, so if Shechel has argued in the past, and it's very compelling, that you should really give items that could be used for the Suda. That could potentially be courses in a meal. not chocolate bars, lollipops, and sour sticks. You know, it should really be things that are meal foods or meal drinks. You know, a bottle of wine, piece of flay shakes, but, you know, you send meats and, you know, a potato kugel, you know, a challah roll. Something that could be used in the meal. You'll say, well, I'm providing him with dessert. Everybody's providing with each other with dessert. You know, it's not, dessert is not really part of the meal. Yeah, so it should really be something that's a meal food. That's the whole purpose, is to facilitate a suda's perm. Either that I should provide someone else with a suda, or they, you know, to include them in my suda, so I send you pekalach for my suda. But it should really be, you know, it's there to facilitate the suda. So the argument, you know, is compelling that it should be suda foods.
Does Rosh Chapter, like, say we should do that, or?
Yeah. When we have a minute. The Rama already, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kol mar b'lishloach l'rei mishubach." We deliver mishloach manos way more than just to one person. In fact, you know, in our ridiculous society, we deliver mishloach manos to every single acquaintance that we have. People are insulted if they didn't get mishloach manos. You know, you have to do it to every person that you know in town. So that's a little bit extreme. But there are, the Shulchan Aruch says you should give it to many people. So I recommend typically to, you know, give, you want to give your lollipops and your, you know, your gumballs to your, to your, you know, to everybody else, it's fine. But you should make sure to give at least one person two meal items, meal foods.
So what about if you're in a suda? Like, you're like, you know, a bunch of guys in the Heights are getting together for a suda. Can, like, let's say I bring two things for the suda.
Literally to the suda, yes. You can
that
would be correct.
I
believe so.
Even if I were to be able to, like, benefit from
it. Unless you're the one who's making the suda. You can't fulfill the mitzvah mishloach manos by inviting people to your suda's perm. So if you're the one making the suda, no. If you're a guest, if it's everybody getting together and joining to make a...
It's like a potluck type thing.
Well, is that close to Mechalfi Suda Sayu Adadi? No, I think that's everybody had their own independent suda, and then they swap sudas. Here, you're really bringing it's a suda b'shutfis. I don't think that's Mishloach Manos.
Nah.
But if you were a guest, and someone invited you to their suda, and you brought a bottle of wine and pastrami... It would be an unusual gift, but that would be, you know, you'd fulfill Mishloach Manos, even if they decided to serve it at their suda. But it can't be that you have to have it at the suda, otherwise we have no suda. And then that's, you can't double dip in that, right, that way. The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva claims that the Ramah cannot possibly subscribe to the perspective of the Trumas Hadesh and the Mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Because the Ramah writes over here in the third line, Im Shaleach Manos L'Reyehu, V'Leinu Reitz L'Kavlam. Person sends mishloach manos to his friend, and he refuses to accept them. Either there's looming, you know, a lingering argument between them, or some grudge or whatever. that they're not on speaking terms. He says, you know what, my house is so full of mishloach manos, I don't need your extra one. You know, keep it, or I'm just going to throw it out. Don't bother. So yatsa, you fulfilled your mitzvah mishloach manos. It says that some sort of the whole purpose of the mitzvah mishloach manos is to facilitate someone else's suda or to include them. You know, in my suda, so how can you possibly fulfill the mitzvah just because the other person was Michael? It doesn't seem to be good enough. However, therefore, the Chasam Sofer, claims that the Ramah had a different perspective entirely on Mishloach Manos, similar to that that's espoused by the Manos Halevi. That's of Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, who is well known as the author of the Licha Doidi. But he also wrote a parish on Megillas Esther called the Manos Halevi, which is more of a... Athletic Perush, you know, P. Kabbalah. But he writes there in passing, Mishloach Manos, Kizeh, Roimez, Kihem, Baguda Achas. Why do we have a mitzvah Mishloach Manos? Because we're criticized by Haman as being an Amaphos Mepharad, Beno Amim, a disjointed nation that's scattered throughout the land. So, you know, that we don't get along with one another. So, in order to counteract that, to overcome that, to respond to the criticism of Haman, we demonstrate that we are united together, Ba'achdos, through sending Mishloach Manos, Ishwa Yehu, Ba'avo, Ba'achva, Hepech, Mashukaz, Vatsar, Mepharizer, that which Haman said, Mefuzim Mefarad Ben Amim. So the Chasam Sofer claims, according to the perspective of the Manos Halevi, we can understand what the Ramah is saying. That if the whole purpose of Mishloach Manos is a gesture of friendship, so then as long as I come to your door, and even if you have a, you know, a grudge against me, or certainly if we get along, but you just don't have any more room for your Mishloach Manos in the house, but I made a gesture of friendship to you, an overture, okay, so I've accomplished what was the purpose of Mishloach Manos, and you would have fulfilled your mitzvah. So he claims that perhaps the Ramah subscribes to that kind of perspective, Mishloach Manos. It's not about facilitating the suda or including others within my suda, in which case mechila would have no place. You can't fulfill your mitzvah that way. But if it's a gesture of friendship and a brother, you know, brotherhood, so then perhaps one could fulfill it even just by the gesture alone, even if the person refuses the gift. According to the this perspective on Mishloach Manos, the Ber Heitev already crossed Mishuvas Halachas Ketanas, that perhaps one could fulfill Mishloach Manos with other items, even if they're not food items. And in fact, as legend has it, the Ramah wrote a sefer from Megillas Esther called Mechir Yayin, and some claim that the Ramah used to distribute that as Mishloach Manos. So that would fit in line with the Chassam Sofer's understanding of the opinion of the Ramah. The Chassam Sofer continues, and he claims that perhaps these two perspectives, Mishloach Manos, will affect other issues that are related, Halacha L'maisa. For example, the Magen Avraham writes over here on the fourth line of Ayis Beis, of Kotin Yud Beis, nearly, to be Sha'ech al Shulchan Chaveroi, person who's eating the Suda by somebody else, for the Heichen Loi Klum, he didn't prepare his own Suda. He doesn't have to do Mishloach Manos because he's not having his own suda. He's eating by his friend. The Toiv La'achmer. He's not sure. He says, sorry, the Toiv La'achmer. Best to do Mishloach Manos anyway, but he's not sure if you're not making your own suda, whether you're chayv Mishloach Manos. Similarly, the Ramah writes over here in the third line, Isha chayev es b'matonas levyanu Mishloach Manos ki'ish. Woman is included in the midst of Mishloach Manos on Purim, and the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkat and Chof Hey, Shekul and Hayu Boisanes, because of Afein Hayu Boisanes. So just like women are Chavim Mikra Megillah, they're Chavim Mishloach Manos. So Prechadosh disagrees. He says, no, the Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos, Ish L'Reyehu, each man to his friend, V'loi Isha, not a woman. Okay. However, the Ramah says, women are Chayiv. However, then he continues. Mishnah Berurah continues, and he quotes in the name of the Magen Avraham. Because of my Magen Avraham, Loi Ra'isi Nizharim Bozeh. Never seen women do this, neither have I. Never seen a husband and wife give separate Shaloch Manos. Might send the wrong message, right? Never seen it. I've seen husband and wives distribute Shaloch Manos separately, you know, because it's a busy day. I drop off some Shaloch Manos, my wife drops off, you know, probably the lion's share, but, you know, I do my part. So maybe that's... Maybe that's a fulfillment of this, but I don't think so. No one's giving separate Shaloch Manos, one from the wife, one from the husband. He's being makne to her. Maybe the Ramah only means if she's not married. Maybe the husband and wife could be yoytze together. Says Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like you should be makne. There are those who say you should be makne the Mishloach Manos to your wife, and this is hers, and she should at least give to one person on her own behalf. Huh? I've never seen people do this. So people don't seem to be in Israel on this. But why? What is the argument to say that a woman should be yaitz with her husband? Because they're making a same suda together. Just like the Magen Avraham said, if you're not making your own suda, you're being yaitz with your parents, you're being soymech al shulchan balabayis, you don't have to send your own mishloach manos. So that perhaps husband and wife are eating together, they don't have to send their own mishloach manos. But why should it be that only if I'm making my own suda, I chayv in shaloch manos? If you're not making your own suda, the Magen Avraham wasn't sure if you're chayv in shaloch manos. So the Chassam Sofer claims that it depends on this issue, because if the purpose of Shaloch Manos is, as the Trumas HaDeshen told us, in order to facilitate the Suda of others, or to include them within your Suda, that's if I'm making a Suda, I can begin to worry about your Suda, I can send you part of my Suda. However, if I'm not making my own Suda, I haven't even gotten around to that, I'm already eating by somebody else, I'm not a Baal Suda, so how can I start worrying about your Suda when I don't even make my own Suda? I certainly can't include you in my Suda, it's not my Suda to begin with. But if the purpose of Mishloach Manos is as a demonstration of a friendship, so then a gesture of friendship, so then everybody can make it, even if you're not making your own suda, and a woman would generate that same gesture by delivering her own Shaloch Manos, man also, maybe even if you're eating a suda together, everybody's obligated to do this, like all the other mitzvahs of Purim. So therefore, man, the minig is that all children give Shaloch Manos too, even though they're eating by their parents, certainly if they're over bar mitzvah, even less than bar mitzvah, the minig is to be mechanech the children. Toiv lahachmer, as the Magen Avraham said, Mishnah Berurah said, everybody should give their own Shaloch Manos. But the shaila might hinge on this these two perspectives. Yeah, what do you want to say,
Josh? Why can't we say that, like I guess there's no Indian of giving on behalf of both of them, or like you can't say that?
You can. Jointly owned.
Right.
Well, the Mishnah Berurah is functioning with the premise that Masha comes to Isha Kanavayla, and it belongs to him, and he would have to send it to her. You're right, I guess it's coming on behalf of both of them. I've never seen independent ones. No. I don't know. I've never seen a husband, you know, I don't know.
Because like, I feel like there's an assumption is, it's like you get it from this family. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, oh, my family, like, oh, we got this much amount from this family.
But growing up, you as a kid, did you distribute your own? Only because you had a different guest list, or no?
Maybe, like, I would do a couple, like, one or two.
Just because your parents weren't going to send their shalchmanos to your friends.
Right.
But not because you felt you had to.
Right,
and just like, so that's the shaila here. That's the shaila. It's exactly the shaila. If you're eating together with your parents, you're saying no, it's really on b'shutvus with all of us. I don't think so. I think if you took your father's shalchmanos and flushed it down the toilet, he'd probably be upset at you. So I don't think it really belongs to you. Right. It probably belongs to them. So, but I think that these two perspectives, this issue might be depend on those two perspectives. Yeah, what do you want to say?
I'm saying for us, it really just depends on the year,
Right, right. We don't really divvy it up in that way, but that's the impression you get from the Shabur. But he also says, "Lo reisin nisharim bazeh." However, you know, Rav Asher Weiss writes in his Minchas Asher. He said, if you would have told the Manas Halevi that he was picking a fight with the Trumas Hadeshen, and you know, he probably didn't mean to pick a fight with the Trumas Hadeshen about what the purpose of Mishloach Manas is. He's probably, you know, he didn't realize he was disputing the only person who made it into a big machlekes over here was a Sam Sofer. He created this whole discussion about these two perspectives of Mishloach Manas. And he made his two nafkaminas. Yeah.
I mean, like, you can say that Manas Halevi fits in with the Truma.
Yeah, he could be just like, adding al piderach.
Like, it has to do the Suda. You bring everything together.
And by the way, it also accomplishes that we overcome in response to the criticism of Aman. But really, it's focused on the Suda.
Right.
He might not dispute you. The reason we have to weave otherwise is Sam Sofer, who convinced us that the Ramah disagreed with the Truma Sadeshan, and that's why Mechila works. But following in the footsteps of the Sam Sofer, who made this into this kind of big machlekes with many issues that depend on hinge on these two perspectives, so the Ksav Sofer has in his Truma, the son of the Sam Sofer, another nafkamina, another issue that perhaps depends on these two perspectives, and that's, what if I drop off Shalach Manas and I forget to leave my name? Oftentimes people come to someone else's house to drop off Shalach Manas and they're not home. They leave it by the door. So as long as the person is going to receive it on Purim, you can fulfill Shalach Manas. If they're only going to receive it after Purim, you still, it's a nice thing to do, but you don't fulfill Shalach Manas. There's nothing to do. It's like giving a present to your friend. It's fine. So you might feel you want to repay them if they dropped off Shalach Manas to you, or whatever you seek to accomplish. It's certainly not the mitzvah of Shalach Manas if they're only going to receive it after Purim. In fact, the Ramah told us if you drop off Shalach Manas at night, or certainly on Tainus Esther, you don't fulfill Shalach Manas. It has to be delivered during the day of Purim. Fine. At least while the people are still eating their suda. Even if it's a little bit after the shkia, if they're still eating their suda, so the kashrut glover writes in the Eretz Tzvi, at least they're still eating their suda, maybe. Okay, but once the suda is gone, there's no mitzvah of shalach manas. So let's say I leave it there by the doorstep, but they're going to come back. I know they're coming back. They're just out delivering shalach manas themselves. So, and I forgot to leave my name. So says the Ksav Sofer, if the purpose of Mishloach Manas is to facilitate the Suda of others or include them within my Suda, like the Trumas Hadeshen told us, okay, so you have fulfilled that. But if the purpose is to create these bonds of friendship, you got kind of have to know who sent it to you. So according to Manas Halevi, it doesn't seem like one would have fulfilled, satisfied the requirement of Mishloach Manas. Yeah.
What about, so another not me, like, what if you drop off, like, meaning to facilitate the Suda, you drop off plates or silverware? I mean, it's not a mafal, but you're facilitating the Suda.
Nah. You could eat on paper plates. Not that fancy. I don't think it's integral. It helps. It's nice, but I don't know. Suda is the focus of the Suda is the food. Later, Akhrenim attach other issues to these two perspectives. For example, the Be'er Halacha says over here, right in the middle of his base, the Siman Tafrei Sadi Hesiv Dalid, of course, the name of the Chayyadim, Hechichman Yerushalmi. If a wealthy man, you send a wealthy man a small portion, how much is shalach manas? It's probably not a kezias or a revius. Maybe it is. It's probably something you could use for your suda. I mean, according to the Trumas Hadeshen. Yeah, it should probably be something, you know, that's a portion. I don't know, a serving size, you know, but it's a portion. So let's say a person, though, sends to a wealthy man. So does he have to send something that's a fich vodo? Or can he send a regular portion? So he quotes Mechayadim who says, no, if you send it to an Ashir, you have to send him something that's chaticha royalist kabbit. You have to send him something that corresponds to his standard of living. Most other pricing don't mention this, that we distinguish based on the social standing, financial standing of the recipient. Sounds like there's one standard. So the Rav Zhalti writes in a Sefer Mishnah Siyavitz that perhaps this the hinges on these two perspectives. If the whole purpose is to facilitate the suda, it doesn't matter who you're giving it to. But if the purpose of Mishlach Manas is to, as a gesture of friendship, so let's say a big usher, the same would be true not only if the recipient is an usher, what if the person who's delivering the Mishlach Manas is an usher? You know, a big usher gives me a little trinket. A bottle, you know. So to me, that means we're acquaintances, you know, if anything, acquaintances, you know, at best. If he delivers to me something, you know, that corresponds with Vichvodoy, oh, okay, he thinks highly of me. So perhaps he has to up his standard of what he's delivering. And certainly if he's a recipient, if you want to make a gesture to him, you have to deliver something that he'll take notice of, not something that's just going to be, you know, an afterthought. So if it's a gesture of friendship, it might depend on the social standing of the person you're attempting to form the relationship with. If it's just to facilitate a suda, everybody eats the same bites. We all eat the same pastrami. We all eat the same bread. It doesn't matter what your social standing is. So then perhaps one wouldn't distinguish in this fashion.
If the usher who's giving out gives it, meaning if he gives to you something small, he gives to someone else something larger, meaning if he gives to a fellow usher, then I hear. But if he's giving to everyone the exact same thing, meaning he might, why would it make a difference?
Because I wouldn't take it very personally. If you're delivering, let's say a person's delivering 2,500 shalach manas, you feel like you have a bond of friendship with him? And you're one of 25,000 or 2,500?
It's kind of like the schools of shuls that send it out.
Schools of shuls. Yeah, but there you have a little card who paid for it. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so perhaps you have to up your... one can make that argument. I don't know if it necessarily follows, but perhaps one can make that argument. There is a very important issue, which later Pesachim claim hinges on this these two perspectives as well, and that is a person who wants to send Shalach Manas before Purim that will be delivered on Purim. Ideally, you would drop off your Shalach Manas on Purim and they would be received on Purim during the day. At night, you can't fulfill Shalach Manas. What if I send it at night? UPS. FedEx, a week before. And it arrives on the morning of Purim. Have you fulfilled Shalach Manas in that way? I sent it before, but it was received on Purim. So the Be'er Heitev has a suffix about this. The Aruch HaShulchan quotes it over here at the end of his base. Yeshu, stop it. Kishashal Manas Ve'yev B'Shem B'Merchakim. He's far away. Koydim Purim V'Yagilo B'Purim. They'll reach him on Purim. Have you fulfilled Mishloach Manas? Those that say you have fulfilled it. V'linira, says Aruch HaShulchan, the lo yotza. No. D'bayina Mishloach Manas b'Purim atzmai. You have to do this on Purim. You can't read Mikra Megillah. You want to get a head start, read it 3 days early. You can't do that. V'ha'oi d'ha ikar Mishloach Manas havim yishum simcha. V'eize simcha hiloi ata masha shaleach mikoidem. What simcha is there on Purim, the fact that you sent it a week ago? So these two perspectives perhaps hinge upon that issue, opinions. If the purpose of Mishloach Manas is, you know, to provide for someone else's suda, as long as it arrives to them on Purim, you know, it would have seemed to have fulfilled your requirement. But if the purpose of Mishloach Manas is to develop bonds of friendship on Purim as a reaction to that which we were, you know, criticized in the morning, by Haman as being an Amma Fosam Mefar, Ben Amim, you can't solve that problem 3 days earlier. It has to be after, you know, in the morning of Purim, after the Mikra Megillah. So it's more focused on the Nisein, you know, making the gesture of friendship than it is on the Makabel and providing him with his Suda. So it should have to be performed on Purim itself. So if you send it early with the UPS, according to some, you might not have fulfilled the mitzvah of Mishloach Manas. If you're going to do it, you should at least send one, which you deliver on Purim and is received on Purim. It's a similar shaila with regards to Matanas Levyonim, which is one of the other mitzvahs of the Purim, which also has to be delivered during the day. The Magen Avraham says, what if I sent it before Purim and it will be delivered on Purim? He says, V'kasa b'ma'ar, quotes in the name of the Baal Amar, D'lo yitin lahem kaidim Purim, Dilma achu hu kaidim Purim. You can't send Matanas Levyonim before Purim. Maybe they'll eat it before Purim and they won't have the money on Purim. So Prima Gadim, first, in the language of the Magen Avraham, Bugatze, they wouldn't eat it. The only problem is, not that you delivered it early and it's not Purim. His only problem is, maybe they'll eat it before Purim, it won't be around, it won't exist on the day of Purim. Let's say it does. Would you have fulfilled your mitzvah even though you dropped it off early? Says the Prima Gadim, yes. You would have fulfilled your mitzvah even though you dropped it off early. However, the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef, disagrees. He says, no, it's one of the mitzvahs of the day of Purim. So you have to give it on Purim, it has to be received on Purim. Just like Mishloach Manos, according to some. Or Mikra Megillah. It's not something you can fulfill earlier. It has to be given on Purim. It has to be delivered on Purim. But everybody gives Matanas Lev Yoinim to the Rav, and they delivers it to the poor people on Purim. So I believe that most people have in mind to make the Rav their Shliach. You're making the Shul their Shliach. They're appointing you as the, you know, to distribute it on their behalf. But it's as if they're giving it on Purim. It's like, I'm giving it to you, and you're going to take it, and you know, it's kind of being distributed on Purim itself, on my behalf. You're making the Rav into your shliach, which certainly would work here. The Aruch HaShulchan says you can make someone else into your shliach. But, so you shouldn't really, though, send it in the mail, even if it will be received on Purim. It should really be taken on Purim and delivered on Purim. So for that reason, the Aruch HaShulchan claimed both of these things. It should be delivered on Purim and separated on Purim, but you can appoint someone else as your shliach to do so on your behalf. So I think that's how we function. But because of this, say, quote in the name of Chazen Ish, that you shouldn't, you can do it, but you won't fulfill Matanos of Yainim by taking tzedakah money, giving it to someone else to distribute it in Yerushalayim on Shushan Purim. You know, when it's Purim there in Yerushalayim. Because even though it's delivered during the day of Shushan Purim, it's after your Purim is over. How can you fulfill Matanos of Yainim when your Purim is over? So if it has to be, you know, taken on Purim and distributed on during the day of Purim, so you certainly can't do it after Purim. Even according to those that you can, you know, the Magen Avraham, who seem to imply you can separate it on Purim as long as it will still exist on Purim, he might say you can separate it, you can give it early as long as you know it'll be around on Purim. So I could send it as long as I know it'll be around on Purim. So you can give it a little early, the Magen Avraham says, as long as I know it's going to be used on Purim. And maybe the Magen Avraham actually recommends to do that. At least it gives the guy time to spend it in the store and purchase a suda for himself. We, you know, do like the Chida, we give it out on Purim. But you might be able to fulfill it early. No one says you can fulfill it late. You know, you can fulfill it after Purim is over. So to give, distribute Matanos of Yonim Yushalayim seems to be a problem, yeah.
So can we say that...
it's still a mitzvah tzedakah the whole year, but you wouldn't fulfill Matanos of Yonim.
Are we saying that Matanos of Yonim like also would like hinge upon this, you know, two different reasons? Or not really?
I don't think so, no. But it's a similar discussion. That's the only reason.
Meaning, like, on one hand you could say that, like, you know, I mean, like, for the student it's a little bit harder, but in terms of, like, whether it's just like stam for Purim or if it's like to bring people.
So we've discussed it in the past. It's a bigger question about Matanos Avyanim. Is that the regular mitzvah stakhan? And how does it relate to the regular mitzvah stakhan? And how is it different? It probably is different. It's part of the like, mitzvah hayoyim of Purim.
Like, I don't know, but like I feel like, you know, the Manas Levi might say a similar reason by.
Yes, it's one of the mitzvahs of the day. So it has to be done on the day. It might also be just to provide him with his needs for Purim. Like kind of right. Along the same lines
so
as Mishloach Manos.
Would you be able to say that? I mean, like, would you be able to make, I guess, that difference like where you send it or like where you give the money? I mean, like, let's say a lot of people, they come collecting Beretz Yisrael, or you're able to give to your community. So depending on like if it's like a stam tzedakah or if it's like, you know, a special thing.
Would all the priorities that we usually have with regards to tzedakah apply to Matanos Avyonim?
Right.
And Yerushalayim and all that, those things. Yeah, it's a good question. It probably has to do with how much, how related is Matanos Avyonim to the mitzvah of tzedakah in general, or is it how much is it one of the mitzvahs of Yom HaPurim and different from the mitzvah of tzedakah? The Mr. Brura over here in Sivkan Yudchetz quotes from the Binyan Tzion, it's the author of the Aruch Liner, Yaakov Etlinger, Nistapik em hevi ba'azma ha-manais, v'goye de shaliach. The pasuk says, Mishloach manas ishwaya. You have to send it. Do you have to send it with a shaliach? Or can I deliver it myself? He wasn't sure. So it says, Mishloach, name of the Bayina davke de shlichus. You have to send it with a messenger. The Rebbe Kiva Eger even had a suffix. You need someone who's kasher the shlichus, meaning would a child or a nachri be no good? You can appoint UPS as your shaliach. You know. Chassam Sofer claims, nah, come on. Either way, you shouldn't need someone who's kasher the shlichus. The whole purpose is that the gift should arrive and be a gesture to your friend. You know, either I'm providing you with the needs of your suda, I don't need a shliach to do that, or it's a gesture of friendship. I don't need someone who's kasher the shlichus in order to accomplish that same gesture, as long as it arrives with a card and says who it's from.
I mean, like, I feel like you can make argument in terms of unity and creating, like, you know, a friendship and creating a stronger bond. Like, sending it through a UPS guy or FedEx, like, it's so less personal. Like, it doesn't, like it just kind of, like...
You can say that. On the other hand, I've heard other people make the other argument. If someone sends a messenger, if I messenger something to you, that has a certain, this was, I thought of you, and I sent a messenger to you. Let's say I meet you on the street, and you say, oh, I'm so happy I see you. Here's Shalach Manas. And you're like, well, I wasn't planning on giving you. Oh, but here you go. We have to have a few extra. But if I send it with a messenger, it's designated for you. Ah, that's personal. You receive a package in the mail. Kids love the package, the holy package, you know? So you can phrase it either way. I don't think it hinges on this issue. I think either way, you shouldn't need someone who's kasher l'shlichus. Many pais can reject the entire binyan tzi, and there's no reason to assume mishleach manas has to be dafka yidei shlichus. And even if you would need a shliach, it's enough. You don't need someone who's kasher l'shlichus. You could use a child or something like that. In our location, so we usually try and send one with Ayidei Shliach. So you have your one Shalach Manas, you do all your Hidurim. Ayidei Shliach, you know, your package of turkey and your potato kugel, and you know, you fulfill L'chol HaDeis. But you don't need to do the rest of the Shalach Manas. Davka Ayidei Shliach. But what often happens, though, is even if you're not sending Ayidei Shliach, certainly if you are sending Ayidei Shliach, and it might be a Nachri, what often happens is people leave Shalach Manas on the doorstep of somebody else who's not home. Hopefully they'll arrive later in the day and they'll get their Shalach Manas. But if you're sending not chocolate bars and lollipops, you're sending meat and fleishiks, I'm going to send you a pastrami sandwich. Can I leave a pastrami sandwich on your doorstep without any seals? You know, it's in a little bag. And, you know, is that a problem because of what's known as basar shenisalim in ayin? Or even if it's not basar, how do I know that it's still kosher? No one came and swapped the item out for a trefa item. So that's a concern that the Gemara has over here, Masechta Schulin, Daf Sadi Hev, Rav, Daf Yomi, actually just did these sugyas. But the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, Amar Rav, Bosar, meat, came into the Salman Ayin Osar, meat, once it's out of eyesight, no one's watching it, is prohibited. Even if it's sitting on the table, you're not watching it, on a picnic table, you turn around, your meat is Osar. You leave it, you know, you're not there, you leave it for... It's awesome. What was Rav concerned with? So many people are unaware of this, but Rashi there explains, as well as Tosfos, he was concerned with a bird taking the meat, bringing it somewhere else, and then bringing back a tray for meat that was similar. And you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So T-bone steak that's kosher, I leave on the table. I have to be afraid that a raven will come, take the T-bone steak, bring it somewhere else, and then bring back a tray for a piece of meat and plop it down in that exact spot. That was what Rav was concerned with. Even in the times of Rav, many disagreed with Rav. We're not concerned with the problem of Basar Shenisalim in Ayin. And even that, even Rav, the Gemara asked, Rav, Heichi Ochel Bisra, according to Rav, how do you eat meat ever? You have to constantly watch it. So the Gemara says, you're right. Deloy Olamein Minei. Rav always watches meat. Now, it's not so ridiculous, you know, it's not so ridiculous. In those times, they didn't have refrigeration methods. So you chef the meat, you probably kind of had to eat it pretty soon. Couldn't preserve it. So okay, so he ate it pretty quickly. But he had to watch his meat until he ate it. Dibai Zema Bitsaira Bakasuma. Or he tied it and wrapped it. So of course it couldn't, you know, the bird can't is not that sophisticated. Inami Bisimana. Or he made on it an identifying characteristic. A symbol. Kihada Rabbi Barabhuna Makatakle Atlasa Karnosa. He would cut his meat into triangles. That was unusual. So even if, you know, no bird is going to bring back triangle meat, you know. So you don't have to be concerned that it would get confused. Okay. So Rav would account for these, for this concern by one of these three solutions. However, most of the Amoraim, even in the times of Rav, did not accept the opinion of Rav. And in fact, even Rav seems to have only been, even within Rav, it seems to have only been a chumra. Because the Gemara there says, what would be a valid siman, an identifying quality, to know that your meat had not been swapped in and out by a bird, even according to Rav? If you have machruzo shalbasar. Machruzo shalbasar is a string of meat, pieces of meat on a string. So you have, you know, maybe sausages, right? The sausages on a string. It's common, not that common. So if you have sausages on a string, I don't have to be concerned that a bird took the sausages on a string and came back and brought new sausages, trefus sausages on a string. Even Rav would assume that that's too much. However, the problem is, the Gemara says, Mesech is about Metzia and Eil Metzia, so over here, Chav Gimel Mebeis, Machruza Shel Dagim Hare Eil Shalo. Let's say a person finds a dollar bill on the street. You can keep it as long as it has no name written on it, because there's no identifying symbol on it that someone else could then later on claim it's theirs and, you know, reclaim their lost item. How are you ever going to know whose dollar bill it is? There's no siman. So re'elu shelo, you can keep it. You don't have chayv lahachriz. You don't have to announce it. You can keep it. What else can you keep? Because there's no identifying quality about it. Machruza shel basar. A line of sausages. You can keep it. Or machruza shel dagim. A bunch of fish. You know, flounder on a stick, on a string. You can keep it. Because it's so common. It's so, you know, run-of-the-mill. So generic. There's nothing to announce even about it. So Tosis says, 1 minute. That's not a simen? If machruza shel dag, machruza shel basar is not a simen, how could Rav, you know, not have been concerned when you lifted on the table that a bird came and replaced it with a similar item? With regards to basar salmon ayin, that if the meat is on a string, it's considered to be a simen. Says Tosis, they were more makel because we don't paskin like Rav. What? This was, yeah, it's true. We don't paskin like Rav, says Tosis. What do you mean? This was within Rav. Even for those who were klesish for Rav, that a bird came and replaced it with some tray for meat, if it's on a string, that's a simen. That's like cutting the meat into good triangles. You don't have to be afraid that a bird is going to come and replace it with a similar item because it's so rare. This was within Rav. So how can Tosis say we were more makel because we don't paskin like Rav? This is within the opinion of Rav. So my Rav there on Tosis explains further. No, what Tosis means to say is, even according to Rav, this was only a chumrah. And we didn't accept Rav's chumrah. This is Rav's personal chumrah to be chayshis, robustus, and simon, and ayin. And we don't accept the chumrah. But Rav is, we know we're passing like Rav. And even according to Rav, it was a chumrah. So that's why the simon could be of a lesser quality than you would normally need in order to return a lost item to do a Shavas Aveda. Yeah.
We'd have to be, like, I guess, that stringent for, like, I guess, to identify your own piece of meat. I mean, like I'm just supporting you within Rav's Svara.
Yeah.
Like, Rav would be saying that, like, I guess Rav would hold it to the same standard. Like, we're trying to compare here a standard of meat, just yes, to know that it's yours, that it's not being replaced, to, like, identifying someone else's lost object. Like, I feel like those two cases would just be different.
What is considered to be an identifying or unique quality, right, of this item is similar in both contexts. What's a simen, what's an identifying quality, could identify my meat and tell me it hasn't been switched, and will also be able to identify a lost item.
So then can't you say, well, one's an identifier for yourself and one's an identifier for another person?
You could distinguish in other ways. Tosis doesn't go in the other ways. Right. Tosis says, you could have distinguished based on the context. Tosis doesn't. Tosis says, no. The difference is,
right,
The reason is we have a lower standard when it comes to Basar Salmon. Even the whole, within Rav, the whole thing was only a chumrah. However, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this in Simon Samach Gimel Siv Beis in Yerodeo. Shulchan Aruch is machmel like Rav, that you either have to watch your meat constantly; it has to be tied up, or you have to have a simon on it. Even if it's not, no one else is around. You have to be afraid of bird. Obviously, if it's in a house that's considered to be sealed, no bird is flying into your house, but it has to, you know, can't have Basar Salmon Ayin. You can't leave it on the doorstep. You have to be afraid. A bird is going to come, take your pastrami, and replace it with tray for pastrami. However, so that would be a problem for the Shachmanis. However, the Ramah says we don't subscribe to Rav, as Tosis already told us, in Alokha Karav, Haminig Lahokha Kesvara Achreina, that we're not chayshis for Basar Salmon Ayin. So when people speak about meat that was left unguarded, they usually call it Basar Salmon Ayin, but that's really a misnomer. They don't mean Basar Salmon Ayin. We're not machmer like Rav. We don't pasuk like Rav. We're not kosher for Basar Salmon Ayin. It doesn't have to be guarded at all times with a simen or with a seal. Or what they are referring to is a different concept. The Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says over here in Lamed Tesmet Aleph, Amar Rav, Chavis Asa B'Chaisim Echad. That's a Rosh Hatevis, an acronym. What is Chavis? Chalav Basar Yain and Tcheles. Need two seals. If you're handing it to a nachri to deliver or to watch, or you're leaving him alone with these items, you require two seals. Why? Because kosher items like chalav, basar, and wine are more expensive sometimes than those items when they're not kosher. Kosher meat is more expensive than treif meat. So I can't give kosher meat. You can't have a Jewish slaughterhouse take unmarked meat, give it to a non-Jewish grocer and ask him to sell it as kosher meat. Why? Because if you're any good businessman, you know, obviously you have to be a little, you know, unscrupulous, but if you're a good businessman, you'll take trade from meat, pass it off as the kosher meat, and charge the higher prices. So therefore, you need two seals on the meat. Chiltis, marayas, pasin, gvina, mutar, b'chaisim, echad. But if you have chiltis, which is some kind of dip, marayas, which is a fish, pas, bread, or cheese, then it's enough with chaisim, echad, with one seal. So it sounds like over here that by meat and wine and milk, you should require two seals. However, Tysus, the Rishonim already asked, the Gemara says earlier, it's everything is enough with one seal. So is it one seal or is it two seals? Wine, there was a great fear that people would switch things. But otherwise, it's enough with one seal. So I thought we just said earlier, meat needs two seals around it to make sure that he won't swap one, you know, the tray for meat for the kosher meat. So Tysus distinguishes, and he says, no, that later Gemara that required two seals is talking about a non-religious Jew. Then you need two seals. When is it sufficient with one seal? By a Nachri. Why? The Nachri knows we're suspicious of him. That he might swap it out for tray for meat. Ooh, so then he's going to be more careful. So it's enough with one seal. He's less likely to do it. The Yisrael, who's not religious, not Shamitar and Mitzvahs, he doesn't think we're suspicious of him. He thinks he's, you know, Fununzera. He's one of us. He doesn't think that we're looking over his shoulder. So there's a greater fear that he might actually swap it out. So therefore, and that's his setting, you'd require two seals. So perhaps it's only by the Yisrael Mumar who requires two seals. The Akum, if I put it in his hands, would be enough with one seal. The Beis Yosef writes over here in Tzimikuf Yurches, in Yerodea, he says about this line of Tosfos, look at the last line, third line, I'm sorry. Beis Yosef says, Ksas Kasha, Pesha Benu Tam, Nevuahi. He says, this is Nevuah. Who told you? One Gemara is talking about Yisrael Mumar, and one Gemara is talking about an Akum. They're both talking about non-Jews. One is not talking about Yisrael Mumar. He says, it's Nevuah to start saying the whole Gemara is only talking about Yisrael Mumar. Therefore, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashban, from the Rambam, who distinguish in a different way, that no, when you're dealing with a potential Issa Dei Raisa, you might swap it out for an Issa Dei Raisa, you require two seals. When you might swap it out for an only an Issa Dei Rabbanon, you know, milk, gvina, pas, it really wasn't tarfus that they were putting in the bread, it really wasn't tarfus they were putting in the gvina, gvina sakum, but it wasn't because it was a chashash of yil tarfus, then it's okay, it's enough with one seal. If you're dealing with a potential Issa Dei Raisa, they might put a trefa ingredient into these items, or certainly meat and wine. They might use as yayin nesach, or milk could be milk that was milk from a trefa animal. That's that kind of milk would be prohibited mid deraisa. Then you would require two seals. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Simen Kuf Yudches Sif Aleph over here, Oisir Beis, that when you're dealing with a potential issa deraisa, you require two seals. When you're dealing with an issa derabbanan, it's enough with one seal. And the Rama quotes Tosfos that perhaps the only time you need two seals if you're dealing with a non-religious Jew, then I have to, you know, it's a greater likelihood he might try and pull a fast one. But if you're dealing with a Nachri, then it's enough with one seal, but the Avidi could rely on that, even if it's in the hands of a Nachri, if it's only one seal, but the Avidi could rely like Tosfos that it's enough with one seal. But you need, of course, some seal. Everyone agreed you need some seal, otherwise we're afraid he's going to swap it out to put in the treif item, which is cheaper, and replace it, with the... Replace with the treif item, take the kosher item out and replace with the treif item and charge the higher price. What's a siman here though? What's a seal? So, you know, it's any kind of anything that's tamper proof. So if you have a tape, sometimes they have tape that goes, you know, with the company logo on it. So you should really have two tapes, you know, one going horizontal, you know, one going right to left, one going north to south. Two seals. Or that's why every bottle of wine has a cork that's a little bit unique, and then you have a plastic wrapper on top. So most of these items we're accustomed to seeing have two seals. In a Jewish supermarket, you can have meat that's prepared by a Jewish butcher, and they vacuum pack it with a label, and you know that's sufficient. You're in a Jewish marketplace. Who's replacing it with tray for meat? You have a mashgiach there. If they're going to send it in a delivery, they usually put it in a box and seal the box. So you have one seal around the meat, and then they usually put, you know, at least one seal around the box as well. If you have something that's impossible to duplicate, entirely tamper-proof, Maybe it's enough even with one seal. L'kuli alma. Why? Because look back at the Gemara about Metziah, Isaiah. If you remember, we were discussing Basar Shel Tzimtzum and Ayin according to Rav. So Gemara said, according to Rav, when we were dealing with Basar Shel Tzimtzum and Ayin, he was afraid the bird was going to come and take the kosher meat and replace it with trefa meat. So they said, well, if you make a siman on it, that's enough if you cut it in corners, you know, in triangles. So Tysus asks, I'm sorry, the Rosh asks over here at the last line of Isaiah, how is it sufficient? Don't you need two seals? When you're dealing with meat, you should need two seals. He says, Masha, Ben the Rav, Ben the Shmuel, Basar Asa, B'chaisim Echad, but we said over here, you need two seals. So the Rosh says, no, high siman l'tlasa karnasa adif tvei. That was entirely impossible to duplicate. No one else was able to cut the meat in the same way that Rav cut it in corners, in triangles. No one else was able to duplicate that. So some places can say, if you're dealing with something that's entirely impossible to duplicate, for example, I don't know if you've ever seen this, it's probably before your time. When I was growing up, the chickens used to have a plumba on it. You know what I'm talking about? Wow. A metal clip. Have you ever seen these metal clips on the chicken? They would serve it with a metal, it would come, certainly sold, sometimes in the places which didn't pull the feathers out of the chicken either, they would leave on the plumba, which was a clip on the chicken. You had to cut it out. That said the name of the company that produced the chicken. So it was literally attached to the chicken itself. You can't redo this plumba. It was a machine that you had to have. Entirely impossible to duplicate. Or certainly if you have a wrapper, you know, these packaged frozen items, even if it's meat, that's sold throughout all the grocery stores, non-kosher, kosher grocery stores, you can't reproduce this item unless you do so in a mass. I get a graphic designer to make the exact same thing. It would be ridiculous. So there's no fear there. It's something entirely impossible. It's not just vacuum packed with a label, you know, with something slapped on it. It's impossible to reproduce. So if you have something that's literally impossible to reproduce, I make special tape for my grocery store. No one else is going to be able to reproduce it. So maybe one could argue one siman is enough. With the tape, they usually tape it more than once. Once you're bringing out the tape, just tape it in five different directions. But perhaps one could argue it's enough with one siman, yeah.
I mean, like, Tosfos' answer, and kind of like what Rabbi was just saying,
yeah.
It actually kind of, like, makes sense, because there was even recent, there was a couple unfortunate cases in L.A.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago,
yeah.
Where there was, like, you know, a kosher butcher, and while the mashgiach wasn't looking, you know, the non-religious Jew who ran the place would, like, switch it out with, like, not kosher meat.
Yeah, but that's a problem with the hashgacha. That's not a problem with you're not sending meat beyond
right.
In the hands of a non-Jew.
But still, meaning, like, we wouldn't have the chashash, but, like, you would think that, oh, the non-religious Jew might not always, like, think that.
We know there are unscrupulous individuals.
Right.
That's not a fetish. Yeah, we know that. We've had major scandals nearby, unfortunately. Oh, one other halacha, though, what might also be a siman is if I can identify it, what might be a seal? I can identify it by looking at the item. Look over here, back in the Gemara in Chule, when the Gemara was dealing with Rav, so the Gemara said, well, what did Rav do with his meat? Either he washed it constantly, or it was tied up. You know, in a container, or he had a siman on it. There was some identifying quality about it. It cut into triangles. Or the Gemara says, Amar Rava, over here in the third line, second line of Vav, Meresh Avamina Simana Adav Mitviya Seina. I used to think that a siman, an identifying quality, is better than just recognizing it by looking at it, because we return an Aveda with a siman, but now with Tviya Sayin, unless you're a Talmud Chacham, but now he believes Tviya Sayin is better. When it comes to identifying my meat, I know what it's supposed to look like. So let's say I'm sending cholent with the nukri. Yeah, I give the nukri. If I'm going to see you later, I know what my cholent looks like. I don't need any seals. There's no way he changed out my cholent, you know, for some other cholent. I know what my meat is supposed to look like. I know what my dish looks like. So there's no fear that he actually swapped it out. That would also serve in the place of two chasamas of two seals. If I know what it's supposed to look like, I know what my meat is going to look like. That then you wouldn't need it. So let's say over here though, I left meat. I left shalach manis, sue the foods on your doorstep. Do I have to be afraid that a nokri walked by and swapped it out the kosher pastrami for cheaper pastrami? Do I have to be afraid that he would do that? So there's one critical halacha here, with regards to all of these halachas, one critical detail. And that's what Tosfos writes over here, or Yisigimel, Tosfos Masechtas Avodazara, that the only time we have to be afraid, if I send food beyond Nochri, it's being delivered by Nochri, or he's alone together with the food, that perhaps he swapped it out, you know, the kosher meat for the treifa meat is if there's some motivation to do that. I take kosher meat that's unmarked and I give it to a non-Jewish grocer. He might mark it, you know, take out the kosher meat and swap it for non-kosher meat and take the difference in money, make a profit. But over here, says Tyson, it's only where he stands to gain. About bechinam, k'dei la'achshol si Yisrael lo'y chayshinon, that he was stamazoy, take out kosher meat and replace it with treifa meat. When there's no financial gain, why would he do it? We're not afraid for that. And therefore, this is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Yud Ches Siv Yud and by the Ramon Siv Beis, that we're only afraid if there is some something that he has to gain in the process. He's going to gain something. If there's nothing to gain, we're not afraid about it. So therefore, the Paiskim write, this is in the Chelkas Binyamin, that's Binyamin Kohn, who's the son of a Revival Kohn, who wrote the Badei HaShulchan in many areas of Yeridea. So his son wrote the Chelkas Binyamin and many other areas of Yeridea that the father never got to. So in Hilchas Machalei Yaakov, he kind of wrote the Mishnah Brura on these parts of Shulchan Aruch. So he writes, so let's say a person comes to work, has a sandwich, meat sandwich, and he leaves it in the refrigerator at work. Many non-Jews use a refrigerator. Do I have to be afraid a non-Jew will take my kosher pastrami and replace it with treifa pastrami? No. First of all, if he wants to eat my pastrami sandwich, he'll eat it and he'll steal, you know, he could take it and not replace it. Why does he have to replace my sandwich? A guy who's going to take something that doesn't belong to him doesn't need to replace my sandwich. So he would just take it. And what would be his motivation in taking the kosher and replacing it with treif? Such a thing wouldn't make any sense. It was permitted. Or for example, I have a food delivery. I get a delivery from the grocery store and they leave it on my doorstep. So many times they seal it, but do they really have to? No, because why would someone wants to take my groceries on my doorstep, they'll take my groceries. They're not going to replace it with treif groceries. They'll go every item that I ordered and replace it with the treif kind. Doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? So such a thing would be permitted. There's no motivation to do it. So too over here, by the Shalach Manas, there's no motivation. If someone wants to take my Shalach Manas, they'll take my Shalach Manas. They don't have to take the treif of, you know, kosher pastrami sandwich I got for somebody and replace it with the treif of pastrami. Why would they do it? Just take the sandwich. If you're taking something which just doesn't belong to you. So, there's no motivation. So it seems to me that the Mishloach Manas that you leave, even if it has unmarked and unsealed food items, even if it's fleishiks, would be permitted. That's why there's a cute story that circulates about a guy who was sitting on an airplane and he unwrapped a sandwich. It was a pastrami sandwich. He was sitting next to a non-Jewish man. He got his kosher meal. He got his treifa meal. He got up to go wash. When he came back, he realized that he left his pastrami sandwich alone with the non-Jew. So he wouldn't eat the pastrami sandwich. All he would eat was the bread. Because Boshus and Simon, you know, not Boshus and Simon, he left it in the care of a non-Jew. Or a non-Jew was sitting next to him. So the guy said to him, why aren't you eating a pastrami sandwich? You know the story? You know what I'm talking about? You never heard this? Oh my gosh. I should have told it like you tell a story. A guy sits down, he unwraps his sasandwich, he gets up to go wash pastrami sandwich. Non-Jew sitting next to him on the plane. He goes to wash, comes back, he won't eat the pastrami sandwich. Non-Jew says to him, what's wrong with your sandwich? He said, you know, in Jewish law, if you left your, you know, meat, you know, in the care of a, you know, in the care of a non-Jew, I don't know how you say that in a, you know, sensitive way, but, you know, it's prohibited. So the non-Jew said, so funny. He said, you know, I never tasted kosher pastrami. I always wanted to know what it tasted like. I took some of your pastrami, but then I saw your sandwich was a little, you know, you were missing part of your meat, so I took some of my pastrami and I put it in your sandwich. Oh! But the truth of the matter is, it's a cute story, which probably never happens, it's apocryphal for sure, but it's not al pi halacha either. I have no reason, I'm not giving away any secrets here, tray for meat, they have no desire, the goyim have no desire for our meat, their meat is much better than our meat, as well, you know, Bali Tshuva tell us, their wine is tastier than our wine, they're not taking our meat and replacing it with their meat because it tastes better. If anything, it's because it's more expensive and, you know, so there's no reason why the guy sitting next to me would take some of my pastrami and put in his pastrami. I mean, the whole thing, the only time you have to be afraid of that is if there's some motivation to do it. If the stewardess, you know, then she has to deliver me a meal. If she runs out of non-kosher, if she runs out of kosher meals, now I'm going to get upset at her, where's my kosher meal? She's going to say, oh, give me the tray for meal. She has a motivation to do it. So then you need two seals. Or if you have a delivery man, so let's say a guy's delivering pizza. Usually now, if you have a non-Jew delivering pizza, they'll come wrapped in chaisamas with seals. But let's say it comes unwrapped. Can you have a pizza? So, if the guy wants free pizza, he could probably take pizza from the store whenever he wants. But let's say he's out delivering for 4 hours pizza. I don't know, how is it still hot then, but okay. And he gets hungry along the way. He might say, you know, let me take a nibble of your pizza. Ah, I'm missing a pizza. When I get to the last delivery, I'll get one from Domino's. You know, maybe. So the pizza comes sealed. Probably if it came without the seal, why would the guy take my pizza? If he wants pizza, they give it for free in the store. He could get pizza, delivery man, I presume. So why would he take my pizza and replace it with a tray for pizza? And I presume their pizza tastes better to them than our pizza. So I wouldn't think he would do it. But let's say a guy, someone just asked me this. It happened. The guy came to a hotel and he had a caterer deliver food for him. And usually many hotels will hold your food for you in their refrigerator, or, you know, even heat it up for you when it comes, you know, sealed and everything. And you'll eat it in the restaurant. They understand kosher, fine. But the restaurant opened up the meals. So now the shy was, can they have it? So one option I recommend, so the question is there a problem? So there is a problem. Why? Because the hotel now is on the hook. They're like the stewardess on the airplane. They're on the hook. They took your delivery. They said, I said, where's my meatballs and rice? We're like, oh, I don't know. So they'll take some meatballs and rice from their restaurant. Oh, here's your meatballs and rice, sir. And their job is not in any danger. How can I ever figure out, you know, if it's not true? So then I have to be afraid. Maybe they swapped it out because there's some motivation to do it because they're on the hook for the meal. So then you would need two chasamas. There is a great motivation that they might switch it. So what I recommend is this person had the situation. They unwrapped the meals. And now what are you supposed to do now? So my suggestion was take a picture of it and text it to the, send it to the store, to the restaurant. The restaurant sent it sealed properly. And ask them, is this what your food looks like? They have a tefiyah sign on their dish. They know what it's supposed to look like. So I said, if the mashgiach will give you a tefiyah sign, that's what our dish usually looks like. I thought that should work. But in that situation, you wouldn't need seals. But the mishloach manos that's left on someone's doorstep, presumably, it would not need any seals. It would all be kosher even without it.